Now let us hear the word of the Lord according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Three pastors got together for lunch, and they were talking about all the funerals they had done. And the one pastor says, "You know, someday people are going to be looking at us laying there in the casket." And he said, what would you want people to say about you?" The one pastor says, "Well, I'd want them to say that I was a good pastor, a godly man." The other pastor said, "I'd want them to say that I was a good pastor, but also a good father and husband." The other pastor, he thought a little bit, and he said, "I'd want them to look at me and say, 'Look, he's still moving.'" Give me a J.
J.
What, was that hard?
No.
You had to think about that for a minute? Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Another S.
S.
What do we have?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
If you believe that Jesus, not really, but if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, say amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, say amen.
Amen.
If you have Christ in your heart and you think that's the best news of everything, and there is nothing more important than that, nothing more important than Jesus, than say praise the Lord.
Praise.
We need to tell other people more than just each other about that. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead, and then for 40 days, he appears unto his disciples, and he tells them about the kingdom of God, performs miracles. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for something very important. He eats with them. He's proving to them that he is flesh and blood as well as spirit. He's showing them what's going to come after death. He is solidifying their faith, telling them the good news about God. And just a few days before he ascends into heaven, he tells them, "I want you to stay in Jerusalem, and I want you to pray and wait for the gift that my Father is going to send you, power from on high. You wait for that." And then on the day that he ascends, him and his disciples go out to the mountaintop, and Jesus looks at them and he says, "Now, you wait for this power, and when it comes on you, then you will be my witnesses. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then he ascends into heaven. And they're all standing around watching him go up and disappear into the clouds, amazed at what he said and what he did, wondering what next. All of a sudden, an angel stands among them and says, "Oh, you men, why are you standing there watching him? He's going to come back the same way he left." But they were left with a command. We were left with a command to be witnesses. So why Jerusalem? Why Jerusalem? Most of these men were all from Galilee and Judea, the surrounding area, not necessarily from Jerusalem. Why did Jesus say Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem was the holy city. That's the place that church happened. That's the place where the Jews would come back from all over the world, make a pilgrimage back there to worship, to celebrate. It represents the church. That is the first place Jesus wants us to be a witness, is in the church. We are to witness to one another, to exhort one another, to encourage each other in the faith. It's here in church that we make disciples. And by to make disciples, we have to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded us, encourage them to learn the Bible. We have to teach them that prayer is answered. God answers prayer. We have to teach them that by witnessing to them, by sharing with each other the good news of Jesus Christ, giving testimony. That's how we make believers. That's how we make disciples for Christ. And that's what God wants us to do, because we're not done there. Because once we become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we've learned what it is Jesus wants us to do, and we've learned how to witness, then it's time to go outside the walls and witness. We are not the church so that people will come in and do things the way we've always done it. That doesn't save anybody. But we are the church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of Christ. That's Jerusalem. And then Jesus said that you will be my witnesses in Judea. Judea is where these fellows lived. We are to be witnesses at home. We are to be witnesses to our family. And I know it goes without saying almost. I know that in some families there are relationships that are very strange, very painful. There are some relationships that are broken. And yet I'm telling you that we need to be a witness to everybody in our family. Everybody in our family should be able to see Christ in us. And we should be a witness by the things that we say and by the things that we do and by the things we don't do. We are to witness to our family about Jesus. And we are to witness to, speaking of witnessing in Judea, we're to witness to our neighbors. You know that neighbor whose dog poops in your yard? We're to witness to them, to show them the love of Christ. Our co-workers who drive us crazy, we're to witness to them. That boss that we don't like, we're to witness to them. We're to witness to the sales clerk that waits on us. We're to witness to the people that we pass in the street. We are to witness to the person that tears off the front wheel of our car. We are to witness in our communities. We are to shake things up. We are not out there to make people like us, but we are out there to share Jesus Christ with them. That's what Jesus wants us to do, be a witness. And then there's Samaria. Oh, why did he have to say Samaria? You know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. See, the Samaritans were the people who were left behind when the Jews were taken away in exile to Babylon. And those who were left behind, well, they tried to continue church, but they perverted the religion. They began to twist things around, do things their way. They really made a mess out of things. And then when the Jews did come back from exile, the Samaritans wanted to continue on doing what they were doing, and it was just a real perversion, and the Jews really resented them. It got so bad that if a Samaritan was walking down the sidewalk here and a Jew was walking this way, the Jew would cross the street. He wouldn't walk on the same side of the road as the Samaritan. They hated each other. They didn't speak to one another. They ridiculed each other. It was racism and bigotry at its finest. That's what makes the story about the story about Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. That's what makes it so powerful. So the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And Jesus said, be a witness for me in Samaria. So what does that say to us? We are to be a witness to those people that we don't like. And there are people who just drive us crazy. People who wear their hair funny and dress weird who've got all these body piercings, maybe who wear shirt and tie, drive us nuts. We are to be witnesses to the outcast, to those whose lifestyle we don't like, that we don't approve of. We are to be witnesses to sinners. Jesus did that. He went and ate with sinners to bring to them the truth, to bring to them love. We are called to be witnesses to Samaria. What's the fellow's name who wears the hat, he's got the long gray beard, walks around town? Mark. His name is Mark. Always walks around town. I noticed him right away. I'm not sure what church he inhabits, but I'm telling you, it'll make it a point for me to talk to Mark, to make sure that he is getting spiritually fed somewhere. And if he doesn't have a church to call his home, guess what? I'm going to do everything I can to get him to come in here. I saw a lot of other odd critters down there in Irwin. I saw some hippies. Hippies. I remember hippies. I'm 60 years old. I remember what hippies are. And I saw some people with the mohawk hairdo and biker types, and if they don't have a home, I'm going to ask them. We look around now and we're all nice, clean cut, good people. But we are to be witnesses too to Samaria. We're not to sit here and wait for the outcast to come in. We're supposed to be witnesses to them. We're supposed to go out and get them. Beat the bushes and the highways and the byways and bring them into this place, or else tell them right there on the spot that Jesus loves them. That's what Jesus said to do. And you're thinking, I can't do that, I can't do that. Let me tell you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, Jesus said, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's that power from on high. God will tell us what to say. God will give us the words. We just have to step out in faith. We have to be witnesses in church, at home, in Samaria to the outcast. And then Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Now it says in Matthew chapter 28, that we are to go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we are to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. So once again, we are to go and baptize and tell people about Jesus and love people and be a witness to people that we don't like. Muslims, Hindus, Communists, ISIS. We are to share with them the love of Christ in order to fulfill what Jesus said to do. And you're thinking, no way, no way. Yeah, way. It's not us that does it anyways. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, in this big college town, there was during this one summer, most of the college kids had gone home. This one fellow was there, he was a young man, he was taking classes. And you know, he wore sandals all the time, and he had jeans with holes all through them, and he wore tie-dyed T-shirts. His hair was braided and cornrows, you know, and pulled back, and was long. And most of the time he was late for class. Most of the time he sat on the floor or sat on top of the desk. But he was there taking summer classes. And it was Sunday. And there was nothing better to do. And he thought, you know, I used to go to church when I was a little boy. He says, I'm going to go to that big, fine church across the road. Nice church, big church. Kind of like this. And so he got up. He didn't have anything special to wear. He just wore what he always wore. And he went across the street to that church. And when he walked in, church had already started. The pastor was up front giving announcements. And he walked in and he looked around for some place to sit. And the place was packed full. And just so he just started sauntering down the aisle, looking and looking. Nobody moved over to give him a seat. And the pastor saw him coming. Didn't know what to think. Everybody was staring and mumbling to each other. This was a fine church. Everybody was dressed really nice. There were nice cars out in the parking lot. And the young man couldn't find a place to sit. And he got down front. And so he just did what he usually does, and he sat on the floor. And the pastor looked down and thought, now what do I do? And he looked up and he saw the head usher coming down the aisle. Had his cane. The man had been head usher there since he who flung the chunk. He had been head usher there forever. And he always wore a suit. He was a no-nonsense man. And the pastor thought, oh no, there's going to be big trouble here. And that head usher walked all the way down to the front. You could hear a pin drop. And that head usher went over to that young man and he handed him his cane. And then he slowly got down on the floor and sat next to him. And the pastor said, you won't remember what I say here today, but you'll never forget what you've seen. That's how we're supposed to treat the outcast. That's how we're supposed to witness to one another. That's how we're supposed to witness to our family, to our neighbors, our co-workers. You see, we give our lives as living sacrifices to Jesus when we give the offering, when we come for communion today. We're putting our lives on the altar table as living sacrifices. That's what we say. Is it what we do? Because Jesus said, go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I'm going to tell you what, you can grab somebody. You can grab somebody. Now, if Peggy wasn't a believer, and I wanted to make her a believer, I could grab her and drag her down into the water and say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and lift her up. Is she baptized? No, it was just water. She has to want to be baptized. She has to understand it and want to be baptized, or it doesn't mean anything. And so when Jesus said to go and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that he's commanded us, it means we have to convince them that our way is better than theirs, that Jesus is the answer to their problems, that love conquers all. We've got to teach them that. They've got to see it in our lives. We've got to give them the proof by being a witness. And when they're convinced, then they'll want baptized. And then we'll have fulfilled Jesus' commands. It begins here in the church. It happens in our community. It happens at home. It happens in our country. It happens with the outcast. That's what's supposed to happen. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to make disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're going to witness to one another. It's a good place to start. And then maybe we'll do a prayer walk down the middle of Main Street. We'll all gather together, and maybe we can march down the sidewalk. A whole group of us, people will stare and wonder what we're up to. And we can wear our shirts that say Irwin First United Methodist. We can hand out bottles of water with scriptures on it. let them know what we're about, that we're alive and well as we pray for Irwin, the area. Maybe we can have a giveaway right before Christmas, a couple weeks before Christmas. We can gather together all of our toys and clothes and household items and store it all up in the gymnasium. And then, you know, 2 weeks before Christmas, have people come in and take whatever they want. No questions asked. Maybe we can do a dinner for Thanksgiving. Maybe like the day before Thanksgiving on a Wednesday, prepare a big meal with all the trimmings and serve it for free to the community. You know, publicize it and invite them in. Let them know that Jesus loves them. But one of my favorites is flash mob. Oh yeah, baby. If you don't know what a flash mob is, you need to look one up. Let's do a flash mob. Let's do it downtown Irwin. Let's do it at one of the shopping centers. Let's all get together and on a prescribed signal, let's all break out in song and give God the glory. Let's shake this world up for Jesus Christ. Let's be a witness. God loves you, and so do I.